Well, I talk about these, the low energy probes of PEV fermions. So PEV, if you're not familiar, is 10 to the 3 PEV. Okay. So what we'll do is the following. So I spend a little bit of time on motivation. Then I basically go through the laundry list. So I do chromomagnetic or electromagnetic EDMs. There's going to be some resummation here. Then the meson oscillations. And lepton flavor violation. So that's the outline. Now the questions that I want to address are, the first of all is, what scale you can probe with this, what scale? Now, for people who have dwelt in flavor physics, the answers would be sort of trivial up to order a few factors, but still maybe it will be interesting for the rest of us. And then the other one will be, what is different from PV SUSY, okay? Now, in other sense, so if you're a flavor physicist and all your super partners were at TEV energies, what will be different in the calculations that we'll do from this usual case? Now, of course, I have to tell what I'll be talking about, so that this is where my motivation comes in. And starting with the motivation, so that's really discovery of the Higgs, right? Now, what could that mean for supersymmetry? Well, it could be bad news for the end no plus no SUSY so far. Okay. So one option is that. No SUSY. One option is that the super partners are at TEV. However, they are in. We are sitting in a very particular corner of the parameter space. So light stops. Delgado talked about it in a few days ago. But the other option is that there is naturalness. Naturalness is also gone. Well, it's not completely gone, but at least to the extent when you want to have fine tuning of 1% or so on. Now, of course, the problem is still why the weak scale is so much lower, blah, blah, blah. And for this talk, I will not try to motivate anything using naturalness, but I will try to motivate the scale of the fermions just by looking at the Higgs. So you have a mass of the Higgs, which is, let's say, 125 GeV. And if we have an MSSM field content, then the mass of the Higgs, there is going to be the three-level contribution, right? So cos squared. And then there's the loop piece, so loop factor. And it goes as the log of mt squared over mt squared. So there's 16 pi squared sitting. Some number plus the mixing term, which will not be important for me. Now, if you neglect the mixing term, what would be the scale of the stop that you need in order for you to get the 125 GeV? Well, let me draw a plot. So if this is the scale of the squarks, which I will take to be the same as the mu parameter, which also will be the same as the sleptons, and all of the squarks are degenerate, and this is 10 in PV. This is 10 to the 2, 10 to the 3, 10 to the 4, and tangent beta, which is 1, 3, 10, and 30, then the Higgs bend will be roughly something like this. Okay, that's MH plus minus 1 GV.
The width is depends on XT, I suppose.
What was the comment?
The weight depends on XT. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So XT I set to 0. Okay. So I just set the XT to 0 for the reasons that I will talk about in a second. And you just ask how big of a contribution this log is, depending on what the value of tangent beta is. Okay. So if you're sitting at sort of low values of tangent beta, it's actually much steeper. If you're sitting at low values of tangent beta, you see that, you know, order one tangent beta requires PV's fermions.
I thought it was much more. And this is under the assumption that you start with naively a zero quartic, right? And then you just run down with non-supersymmetric RGE, and you have to start with something like 10 pH.
Is there anything else in the Lonergy theory, or just
the MSSM? Okay, so what's in here is... Okay, so maybe what you're talking about is that
yes.
There's all the Gaginos are down there at 1 TV. Okay, so plus, yeah. Plus all the Gaginos
at
TV. Okay, when TV can also be 10 TV. Okay?
So
in this particular case,
okay,
here, so now I have to be more detailed. So what they did here is that Vino and the Wino are at 2 TV, 2 or 3 TV. Gluino is at 10 TV, okay? And this is a two-loop result, okay? And the width is from the variation of the Higgs. You see that if you want to be at low tangent beta, you're looking at 10 to the 3 TV. Okay, so what I'll do now.
So, this fermion has to be the same, is that just an assumption?
Yeah, for simplicity, I just took them to be exactly the same. So the only thing that really matters here is the stop.
Just the stop, it doesn't matter. Right.
Yeah, exactly. But since I have more stuff going on to this plot, this assumption of the mu being equal to the squark mass and the slepton will matter once I start drawing the bounds. So once I go through the laundry list, I'll try to do a few examples to see what the bounds are on this plot. Okay. So the setup will be. Yeah, I try to go through that right now. So,
sorry, not to be a pest on this point, but when you said you calculated this tool, you mean you did the Higgs mass calculation, or you actually did the RGE, the iterating out the stuff and run the RGE there?
Yeah, exactly.
The
letter and okay. So the sleptons and the squarks will be. And the mu parameters, so the Higgsinos are at 10 to the 3 TV, while the Gluino and the rest of the Gaginos are roughly at TV. Okay, so that's a loop factor down. So 1 over 16 pi squared down from the squark masses. And the motivation.
Motivation. Why?
It's really coming from simply unnatural. No, unnatural. Susie? So that's Arkani Hamed from December last year. So that's, and also James Ross, many years before, 03, 06, 127, some conferences. Okay, but the idea is very simple. So if you are looking at the
breaking of
Susie breaking. So what you want is that you don't do any heavy gymnastics in order to get your spectrum. So everything will be high enough that the FCNC bounds will be to a first approximation valid. You won't have these big problems of flavor problem, CP problem of the usual Susie, just because everything is sitting much higher. And then you look at what the other components would be. So for instance, if scalar masses, from the Susie breaking contribution, so
you will have something like this.
Planck phi I phi I. So you see that if S, which is a chiral field which will break the Susie through the F term, so there's an F S which breaks Susie here. So if this thing has any gauge quantum numbers, I can still write down this term, right? But if you're looking at the Gaginos, then the term something like this is not gauge invariant. Right? So this will give me the mass for the Gagino, which is at 3/2 using the normal mediation Fs. Or right. Now, this thing will give me a mass only if S is a singlet. Right? So we need to have a singlet. Now, if there's no singlets in the game, then this piece is gone. Okay. Right? Now, then you would have the contribution only from the anomaly mediation. So anomaly will then give me the Gagino masses, which are down by the loop factor. So depending on so it's a beta function, you're down by the loop factor. So that's the motivation for why the gluina and the rest of the Gaginos are said to be a loop factor below the squawk masses. Now, if you're looking at the A terms similarly, this term is and Planck is also not gauge invariant, so it's gone. Therefore, the A terms will also be down by 1 over 16 pi squared. It's even better that the left-right mixing actually comes also with the wave of the Higgs, so it is also down by the weak scale. Right? So the message here is left, right, mixing, negligible. Right? So that's one thing which will be very different are significantly different from the usual flavor. I mean, the case where the flavor physicists are looking at the TV scale SUSY and looking at the bounds on this TV scale SUSY is that the left-right mixing now will be small or suppressed. So the spectrum of fermions will now look like something like this. Okay, so there's, if I go to the quark masses, so the left-handed guys will have a common overall scale, that's the this PV scale, and then plus a 3x3 matrix.
What's this symbol? Is Q tilde or?
Q tilde.
Is a Q.
Yes. I see. I have to have. So the Zupan font. Sorry. This is Q tilde. Sorry. Yeah, that's Q. And this is the capital Q.
Okay.
And
the G is
and, this will become a problem, I see. So when it curves down, it's a Q.
It doesn't curve down. It's very
distinct.
Very distinct. Yeah, I apologize. Anyway, so you see that there's the left-handed squark matrix, right? And then for the right-handed squarks, again, there's a 3x3 dimensionless matrix, but we don't have to consider the left-right mix. So what I'll do is all the discussion will now be in terms of the messy insertion approximation. So these dimensionless quantities here will be the mass insertion parameters, and I'll take them. So in the numerics, all these, okay, ij will be set to 0.3. I think we want to do numerics in all the cases. Just I fix it to be 0.3. I mean, it's a random number, no? Order one. We assume that they're on the order one because this is gravity mediated. You know, you would think that there's no flavor symmetries which are being built in. You could go to a different scenario where there are flavor symmetries, but just that's going to be just for the illustration purposes. It's always going to be set to one.
So
there are
still many
Okay, so this was just the motivation. So from now on, it would be very phonological. So the only thing which will enter is that there is a ratio of scales, okay? And then you want to ask how high you can probe these fermion masses now if you have an order one flavor breaking, okay?
Okay, so what you're really assuming here is that S is not a singlet.
If it was a singlet, then this, yeah.
It's not a singlet, it's a singlet.
All right. So because the problem mixing is negligible, that's why you consider X to equal to 0?
Yes, very good. Yeah. So this is much smaller than the rest. So there are two pieces here. There's a mu term and the A term. So the A term is down by the loop factor. The mu term, however, so there is a mu,
divided by 10 divided.
Yeah, I would have to look to the formula. But there's a, you also pay a Higgs wave, no?
But mu is not small.
Mu is not small. But the mixing is small because the mixing has an MT there. Right. And the top is a wave of the, I mean, it's one times the wave of the Higgs. The weak scale is much smaller than the PEV. So this is a completely new region. Okay.
So this delta A then is ad hoc.
Delta A?
Yeah.
that the number, the extra number, yeah, it's not really important. It's just that I don't put it to one because okay, one is crazy, no? But it's order one, no? Now you can always yeah. So we work in the mass insertion approximation, okay? So the formulas will be varied up to the corrections, which are delta squared, okay? But you can always rescale all the bounds. It's just it's an example, no? Naively, you would think that, you know, it's why should there be flavor symmetries? But everything is, you know, if I go any further, there's going to be model building, no? And the only part which I want to take from the model building is just the hierarchy of scales. I will use that the flavor breaking is large, okay? And that's it. That's the only thing. Okay. Anything more? There is no need for flavor symmetries. Yeah, exactly. Right. So we'll see how high this scale needs to be in order to. Now the experts already know
roughly.
Okay, so now I'm going to go through these different observables. So the first one will be.
Are you saying KK bar mixing is sort of has an additional suppression here because the left right mixing is smaller?
The
compared to, let's say, what it could be compared to the 5 dB. Yes. So there's an extra suppression here.
No, I don't think so. Actually, you still generate the left right. So there's not all the diagrams are there, but there's still left-right contribution. Yeah.
I think so. There's left, right, right.
Yeah. That's really strong.
When you're saying the A terms are small, so you're not having
the
mixing.
Uh-huh.
Then you're assuming that
A
independent.
Delta A was what?
The mixing.
This delta A. Yeah.
The IJ.
Oh, you're worried about the A here?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
A stands for Q. Q.
Okay. Q.
So you are putting some generic mixing that has nothing to do with your
A. Q will be equal to delta. Very good. Sorry about this. Delta U.
I didn't dare to ask, but the lower, but the second index is.
Yeah, so A is a super index which stands for Q left.
Index, it is not an
A. U right.
The A term is a lowercase.
D right.
An A term is a lowercase.
Left and so on. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I jumped.
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, it would be stupid not to, if we got hung up on this. okay, so electric dipole moment.
So sorry, what was the answer then on KK bar mixing? There's just some special, going to require some special suppression, or you're going to naturally get the right value with these assumptions?
We will, okay. I mean, the
bound is actually sits here.
If you assume that the phase is the so this is from epsilon k. So the phase is 1. You assume that the phase which enters this the CP violating phase is 1.
And the insertion
is 10 to the 3 point because 3. You get 4 insertions and point C to the 4 is 10 to the minus 2.
Yeah.
So it's very sensitive to this.
Of course, yeah. So I'll also try to highlight hard scales with the deltas. Yeah. There's two insertions, so that gives you an order of magnitude. But then, so maybe we'll just wait. When I have formulas, it will be maybe easier. Okay. Right, so let's say if we look at the.
You're going to talk about.
I will talk about that, yeah. I'll start with the EDMs, though, okay? So, let's see. So the Lagrangian, so we'll have the EDM for the electron, so E sigma mu nu gamma phi E F mu nu. Then there's the quark EDMs of Q sigma mu gamma phi Q F mu nu, and then the chromomagnetic, which are F of I, where's I D Q tilde, or half, the same thing here, except that there's a T A G A mu nu, right? So we need to match onto this operator, this set of operators. And if we look at, let's say, we look at the quark EDMs, especially the chromomagnetic one. So the diagram, the dominant diagram will be the one loop, where you go from the U right to U left, and then I need to have a one insertion of the gluino mass. So there's one insertion of the gluino mass here, and then the dominant piece will be when you have the chirality flip on the third generation, so that you go from the U right, you mix into the T right, so the right-handed stop. Then there's the mu insertion, right? So there's T, and this is mu here. You go to a left-handed stop. So you see that you do use the right-left mixing here, no? Which is suppressed by the weak scale. Right?
Yeah. Oh no, sorry, it's the scalar. Right.
Yeah. And the U left. Okay. Right. So the U will go as the U over E. The scale is a loop factor, alpha S over 4 pi. Then we have mu times MT. Right? From here, then the gluino mass, and to have the dimensions right to the fourth. Okay? Right, it's a dimension 5 operator, so this thing should have a 1 over mass dimensions. There's the quark masses, these are the gluino masses. Okay? And there's a mu times mt, and you have 2 delta UT insertion. So that's the flavor violating piece. It's here. Delta T. And what was that? No? No, why are you saying?
It's a loop factor, you said.
Ah, right, yeah. In a way, yeah, exactly. And we see that there's a two-loop contribution, which will be sort of the same order in the limit where mu will be small. Okay, I'll comment on that. Yeah, you're right. In a way, it's of the two-loop size. Okay.
So you need solution to a sparsity problem.
By you and then some numbers.
Is there any solution to a sparsity problem? Should we worry about a sparsity problem for this secret? I'm trying to say that. Is it possible the phase, the Felix to generate those phases will be different from the Felix to generate the flavors because of the Zeno scale?
This CP violation is smaller?
Right.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's, again, depends on what your, it really comes to the question of what your Suzy breaking mechanism is. No? So if you have something completely generic, you would say, okay, I write down complex matrices wherever I have flavor structure, and this will just be some random order one complex numbers with a phase. The phase, okay, this is the rephasing invariant phase, so it's the...
This is the spork matrix. So I'm using the argument of the determinant of...
I think what you're asking...
So that means that the theory is not complete. Probably you still need to... So there could be some way to use the faces here,
the Yeah, but that's the...
There may be some theory.
That's a lot of...
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. So it's the CP violating phase. We'll take it to be one in numerics. So now you already see that the bounds. So there's going to be a bound on the electric dipole moments, and the bound will vanish when, okay, so it will go whenever this delta L ut or delta R tu will go to zero, then this diagram will become unimportant, okay? So no bound. If there's no flavor relation, then that diagram will be unimportant when the phase goes to zero. Right, we're looking at CP violation. So if the CP violating phase goes to zero, there's not going to be any contribution. And then also if mu goes to zero, this contribution would vanish. And it decouples as the fourth power of the squirt masses. Now in here, this number here actually also contains a log of the gluino over the squark mass. So that's the gluino mass, this is the squark mass. There's a log of this ratio of scales for the chromomagnetic operator. So now this is a large log. The value of this log is roughly tangent beta. So this is roughly order 10. So that's something that you would want to resum.
Yes.
It's 10 to the 3 divided by 10. So log of 10 to the 3 is roughly 10. Depends on what
you take. It's between 9 and 13.
Okay, so how you do this? Okay, so the log resummation. So the first thing, so log resummation. Okay, so try to be quick.
Sorry, uh-huh. That I go back for a second, but I forgot. I was not here when you said it, Robin. Why you're coming mu 10 to the 3?
Mu. Okay. So mu. That's very good. Yeah. So mu is really the part where you could vary the most. So I'll go to a different limit in a second when I take mu to be much smaller than 10 to the 3. But right now, it's an arbitrary choice. In a way, it's because at the end, I will keep it to 10 to the 3 when I make this plot. Okay. But I will go in a second, I'll go to a different limit and we'll see. Everything is fine, yeah.
For the other things, you gave some arguments on how to check.
Right.
For mu, exactly. Yeah, you're completely right.
So right now, I'm just taking it to be 10 to the 3 for no
good reason, except that then this diagram is the dominant one, and I talk about this diagram, and then I'll move on to the next to the two-loop diagram, which is...
If you just do Givinsky Mansur, it's going to be 10 to the 3.
Sorry?
If you just use Givinsky Mansur, it's going to be 10 to the
3. Yeah, but you know, in Giudice Massiero, you can always argue that...
It's a mirage.
Okay. Okay. I think we can move on. So the way this will work, okay, is there's a a sort of a two-step procedure, so it were attend to the three TV. These are where the squarks live, right? So we integrate out the squark. Great. Out the squarks. So in between, we'll have a theory where we have a standard model plus Gluino, right? The Gluino is the standard model plus Gluino. The rest of the Gaginos are not important for this story. And then at one TV, you integrate out Gluino. Integrate. Great. Out. And then you merge onto the same effective Lagrangian I had before. So from here on, the story is completely standard. So what we do here is you need to match onto, for instance, you'll have diagrams like this.
So you need Gluino including Gluino, the new Gluino.
Huh?
So the Gluino includes the Chargino.
Ah, okay. So the only piece which is important is that there is a Gluino, because I'm resumming the log which sits in the chromomagnetic operator. In principle, you could also resum the logs from the Bino diagram. Actually, for this thing, there's no Bino diagram. There's no Bino log
in this case. But
for other processes, you might want to resum those as well. But that's down by alpha or alpha.
Yes, so we didn't
do that. Okay, so you will match onto an extra set of operators. So this will be the squark line with the insertions, and this will match onto now when you do this. You integrate all the squarks, this will match onto the operator with two fermions, with two standard model fermions and two Gluinos, and this will mix with the chromomagnetic operator at one loop. You just close the loop. Right. You see that you might generate something like that operator if you mix. No? And at the end, so you do the resummations, this is sort of a factor, which is sort of two times the result that you would get without the resummation. Okay? So it's
Once again?
I mean,
is this factor
too
really relevant?
Very good. I knew you will complain. Yes,
no,
you can always ask.
And there are so many assumptions, and then I mean,
right. So there, you know, I think
technically
it's a nice exercise.
It's a nice exercise. It's in the appendix.
Okay.
And the uncertainties, which I mean, there are uncertainties. If you now you have to go to the nuclear physics. Okay. So if you look at the neutron EDM, the uncertainty that would be due to not resumming this would be bigger than the uncertainty on the neutron. However, on the mercury, the uncertainty is larger than this factor of two would be. Okay, so now you can draw your line or where you want to do it or you don't want to do it. No? But still, it's a nice
exercise. Sorry, there's another contribution.
Yeah, so I'll talk about the two-loop right now. So there is a Barzi type of diagram, which I will just...
Oh, sorry, it's the same loop.
From the diagonal?
Yeah, just take out the insertion.
But then you pay the Yukawa.
No Yukawa. There's no insertions and no coupling to the Higgs, so the dimension 5 operator. And the equations of motion...
We must have less. It's a left right mixing.
No, sorry.
So you need to have.
It's equivalent to that by equations of motion. Or by operator relation.
Okay, maybe I'm not following the discussion.
You're missing an operator.
The operator, I'm definitely not, but you're saying that I'm missing the piece.
There's another operator that contributes to the underdipole, which is not left right.
okay, so there's, okay, there's dimension 6 operators, which are smaller. There's a dimension 5 operator.
Is it derivative? So, yes,
so effectively in diagrams, the D slash is on the outside. Yeah. So usually we'd say, oh, I shouldn't calculate a 1 PI thing, but if you do the operator analysis, then it's equivalent to the diagram.
What's the operator?
It's with the D slash.
Okay. Okay, no, but what's your point? Maybe I'm missing the point.
It contributes to the EVM, but okay. I think it's going to be, well, as delta goes to zero, it's parametrically it's the same size without the deltas and without the mean.
Okay.
So I think it's probably bigger, well, at least in small delta.
Then the equal okay. D you cover when you...
Yes.
But he claims that...
So in the end, it's proportional to...
So you're saying that there is a piece which is M top or MU enhanced.
The Upu-Kawa coupling is a huge
one. Okay, so I don't know.
You're talking about another piece which is M2 over MU enhanced? Or no? You're talking about the
flavor diagonal piece?
Yeah.
Ah, that's down by the up versus the top Upu-Kawa. That's why I even go to these gymnastics. Of this is the dominant piece because I should have stressed this. Very good. This is the dominant piece
exactly for this reason: is that you have a top Upu-Kawa here.
It's proportional to the top mass, not the up quark mass. So the D slash, or you would use a question of motion, would give you the mu.
You kind of see it there. It's proportional to U T U, right? So
exactly here. Yeah. So you pay this, you pay this
in order to
get the top mass here.
With the flavor violation.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the point.
Yeah, you pay the flavor violation, but you get
the flavor violation. It would be the same order because then you'd have to pay.
Right. Very good. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Now, let's go to the limit where mu is smaller.
They said if mu would vanish, this piece would go to zero. However, for mu, which is much, much smaller than the quark mass, then there's a Barzee-type diagram, which is a two-loop thing, where you change a Higgs. And then you have Cherginos running in the loop. Okay. Photon. But you have to have a large Higgsino component, right? So you can get this contribution. So there has to be a mixing here.
So your Cherginos have to contain a large
Higgsino component in order for this to have a sizable contribution. So need Cherginos Higgsino mixing. Okay. Now this will happen when the mu is comparable to the size of the Cherginos
or the weak scale. So if mu is of order EV scale,
this will definitely dominate. But it decouples as 1 over mu.
The mixing will go as
1 over mu because the mixing is proportional to the VEV, right? So once you diagonalize
the matrix, which has a
mu here, large, this is of order V, and let's say that's the M1 or 2, you would diagonalize this, the mixing error would be V over mu. Okay. So now I can draw a plot. You'll understand everything about the bounds now that come from... Let's see, if we look at the bounds from the neutron EDM. So the prediction will look something like this. where this is 10 to the 3 TeV, and this is, let's say, 1 TeV, the dependence on mu for a particular value of squirk masses. Okay, so take some squirk mass. Maybe I don't even have to specify the numbers here, but you see that there is going to be a 1 over mu behavior for low values of mu, and then there is a linear behavior goes as mu for the large values of mu. Okay. Now, if I take the high, the large value of mu, for instance, the neutron EDM will sit somewhere like here. Okay, the bound DM. That will be the bound from the neutron
EDM. I mean, how much does this use?
If I were to
I
say
this mass also depends at some level
and yeah, exactly.
Through this next
thing. Yeah. Yeah, the question is if you take yeah, so okay, it's a publicity plot. We didn't really
do the full scan here, no.
To try to understand. So I'll just pick a parameter point. There's many plots which are in the paper where they are specific for the observer, but then sort of if you want to know roughly where you are, we just picked one point. I don't know, maybe we should have another one where mu is small because this will shift a little bit.
Okay.
I think. Ah, very good, yeah. So the exclusion is from on the left, so the allowed region is on the right, so squirk masses of 100 TeV, 70 TeV or so. Again, the scaling was, exactly, it went as the double insertion of the deltas, and it also depended on where you are. So you could have a sweet spot where mu would be just here, I don't know, 20, 30 TeV, and the bound would be weaker by an order. Okay.
Yes. This.
I should say, yeah. So delta ij will be set to 0.3, and the phases, in this case, phi u, will be set to 1 for this plot. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think
it's sine phi, but okay, so the next one will be the laser mixing. So we'll have diagrams like this. So this is actually relatively standard, except that not all of the contributions are there. See, right, you write, for instance, for the bar mixing, when you go through the squarks, you left, see, left. So this would be some number times alpha s squared m blue m squark. M squark squared and the two insertions, delta c u right, delta c u left. Now, so there is no log of the Guarino mass, so the Guarino mass essentially drops out to a first approximation, and where it really enters the fact that we have gluinos which are much lighter, okay. So gluino, the fact that we have a gluino mass which is much lighter than the squark mass, it enters in the running of alpha s, okay. So it will enter in the fact that the running of the alpha s from the high scale to 1 TeV will be different. But there is no large log to reason here in this case. Now, we just summarize the bounds. So KK bar mixing.
Mixing.
Yes. Right. Very good. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm working to one loop at the matching. So at the when you do the matching,
there's no log in the Wilson coefficient, right? So the only effect at this order is really through alpha s. Now, if you went to higher orders, you will have them. Thank you. So the squark masses will be bigger than so the 500,000 TeV. And then DD bar mixing. The squark masses are about 50 TeV. Now, the nice thing is that, so this is from CP violation. So you look at the CP violating observable and DD bar mixing. And at the end, this can still be improved 10 times just by trying to measure the DD bar mixing phase. If once you reach rough, okay, it's a bit of a guess, but once you saturate the standard model value, this would translate into roughly an order of magnitude improvement on the squark masses.
So, Sean, if you really want to put that bounce together with the Higgs, which are in the top type, which are in the top squark that matters, then the KK bar doesn't really matter, right? Because for the KK bar, it's a down type squark that goes into the.
Right.
So whatever the bounds you get for the KK bar mixing, you couldn't really put it together with the Higgs here.
Yes. Very good. Yeah. These are all the caveats for making this combined plot. Right. Yeah. And then B bar mixing, it's 20 TeV in a sort of maybe a 2 times improvement in the future, and B sub S bar mixing. The bound is 6 TeV right now, but you could have another order of magnitude improvement. You see that it scales as squark masses squared, so it means that you have to have 2 orders of magnitude improvement on the phase measurement in phi S, which is roughly what you can get. Now the final part, I think.
So those numbers are for the mass scales?
These are the masses for the mass scales, keeping the flavor relation to be 0.3 roughly. I mean, you could say order 1.
So DD bar mixing can improve by a factor of 100?
Yes, because you're going after the CP violating phase there. Right. So the delta MD will not improve. I mean, there's no improvement just because you don't know the standard model. Now, the question is really how well you even know the CP violating phase in the DD bar mixing. So if you say that it's bigger than 10 to the minus 4, that's the number. Now, you can argue about that. No. At the very sort of roughly, no, it's roughly, no, if this is 7 or 5, that we can argue. So the charm contribution would be somewhere here. So this would be DD bar mixing. So everything below would be excluded, and the stuff which is allowed. So to the left. Okay. So the last thing I talk is the lepton flavor violation. So the first one would be mu to e gamma. So the diagrams here
be something like this. Mu right. E left. For instance, HD. I mean, there are several diagrams, blah, blah. These are U left, mu left, E left.
Just come back to KK Barbinson. It just seems like I should be able to understand this number, and I don't, because the number you usually remember is 10 to the 5, PDB, right? You got a loop factor in front, right? And so that finds you a factor of 10 in the scale, because it's the scale squared. Got 0.2, 0.3, that's a factor of 10, but that's only a factor of
3. Yeah.
So it seems like there sort of should be about a factor of 3 bigger or so. No, the scale is bound on the scale and it's 4.
You need to put in the alpha strong.
The alpha strong is also pretty decently sized. So I maybe, anyway, I would expect it to be a little bit bigger. If you just tell me that's what you get, you did it, but it looks a little bit small. Only by a factor of 3 or something.
Yeah, but the factor of 3
is really a factor of 10
because it's squared, no? So that's why you're worried.
Exactly. So it's a factor of 10 in the operators I'm not seeing.
Okay. I don't think I have a quick answer.
Yeah.
It's a. Okay, yeah, so the bound here would be roughly 30 TV for tangent beta, which is order 1. Then mu to E conversion something like TV, and then mu to 3e would be sort of 5 to 10 TV bound. So if I plot them here, the bound from mu to e conversion looks something like this, mu to e conversion, mu to 3e.
So this,
mu to e gamma, oh, it's getting very crowded. So that's the mu to e gamma. Now, as a conclusion, the interesting thing is how much will these bounds improve in the future? So,
K-bar mixing, you didn't put on this plane because...
I did put it.
Okay. Oh, that's the
K-bar. The strongest, yes. I should have used the color chart. So, this, the DN, so the neutron bound, there's a potential that in the future you'll do another order of magnitude better in the squark masses. So that means that, you know, three orders of magnitude better in the Dn. And then the future DD bar mixing can also move up significantly, and all these bonds can also move up by an order of magnitude or so. So it's most of these bonds will move up, the KK bar mixing will stay where it is, but you see that sort of right now you're getting close to have many probes which are looking at the PEV sizes, squawk masses, but there's going to be many more in the future that will sort of sweep in into this high mass region. So there's, if you don't see anything now in KK bar mixing, you know, there's a great potential that you might see something in the other observables nevertheless, because they were really, there's orders of magnitude improvements in the other observables that will come in the game in the future.
Sorry.
Is there any special reason for the TM bond and for the neutron bond to be with this to antenna is roughly equal to two?
He wants to know the shape of this thing.
Now
that's the mu to e conversion. The mu to e conversion?
Oh, that's
mu to e. Yeah. Mu to e conversion, there's two pieces which enter. So I guess the two pieces have different behavior in terms of tangent beta.
It's usually a combination of top type of goes and what can you buy the other one.
Oh, no, we didn't look at B2S camera.